Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas is Connor Devine. Thanks for being with us, Connor.
Yeah, it's great to be on the show, guys. Thank you very much for the invitation to contribute.
Sure. Connor, we'd like to ask our guest, what was it that made you go vegan?
Yeah, it's a really good question to open with. I think all of us in life, we're all on a journey, and we've all got stories to tell. And I think, you know, for each of us going vegan, from the vegans that I've spoken to, we all have very different reasons for landing in that spot. And for me personally, unfortunately, in 2006, I became very ill on a holiday in Mauritius. And over the course of 24 hours, my body came under attack. My central nervous system gave in. And I spent the next week on holiday in hospital. And over the next few years, I became really ill. And I was diagnosed 12 months following the first onset of the problems in 2007 with multiple sclerosis, which is a very dangerous, nasty neurological problem. So I suppose, guys, over the last 12 years, I mean, I'm striving every day to get healthy. I'm trying to get stronger every day. The first 4 years of my illness was absolute hell. I struggled mentally and physically with the condition. And it's really over the last 6 or 7 years that I'm living to tell the tale, and I've become stronger. And throughout this journey to good health, I've been studying. I mean, anyone who gets sick or falls ill in life, I always say to them to become a student of the condition. And for me, through the research and the study and the commitment to getting healthy again, I worked out that one of the ways to do this was to try and fix my biochemistry, to try and facilitate the recovery process in my body. And that's obviously where I came across the plant-based lifestyle, the vegan lifestyle. And thankfully, 3 years next month, I am totally medication-free.
Okay.
And I am totally plant-based vegan. And my health is the best now than it's been probably in 13-odd years.
That's amazing. I bet. I mean, I can only imagine what you were going through mentally and what so many people go through when they hear about having MS. And did you, I mean, what was the research out there in terms of what were they saying that you could do about, you know, the condition and how you were feeling?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I certainly felt like there's over 3 million people in the world who are diagnosed at the moment with MS. I think the actual figure is a lot more than that. But I think no matter where you are in the world as patients, you're conditioned to believe that things are going to get worse. And between 2006 and 2010, I was slipping into a dark place in my own life. My mental health was incredibly poor. My physical health was incredibly poor. Tasks like walking and doing the shopping became extremely difficult for me. And then one day I came across someone which you guys might be familiar with. He's in the entertainment business and he's from New York. His name is Montel Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he used to have a television show.
Yeah, so Montel, I found this guy online and he had MS. He was a former Navy SEAL. He was a successful entrepreneur. And he gave me a lot of hope. And from really that moment that I came across his work, that really inspired me then to sort of take control of my own position, my own health, and try and find a way back to health. Certainly, the pathway that most patients, whether you have MS or any other condition, the pathway that they tell you to go on is very much a conventional medication, conventional medicine way to health, which I have found out over the last number of years. You know, medication is designed to manage disease, not induce health.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only really whenever the penny dropped with me that this medication can't fix me. I'm going to have to try and fix myself. And the starting point with that has to be the nutrition and the food that's going into my body.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I saw on your website is, and one of the things that really Greg loves to say on the show is let food be thy medicine.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely is your case here, because it seems like so many people, despite even being on the medication, just still don't find the hope or the relief that they're looking for.
Well, medicine just kind of masks the symptoms, and there's so many side effects to conventional medicine that, you know, you don't find those side effects with a plant-based diet.
Yeah, well, I think it's a difficult one because obviously big pharmaceutical companies are so powerful. You know, they've got inroads into our governments and all sorts of stuff, and let's assume that they're all trying to improve patients' health. I mean, that's fine for the purpose of this conversation. But the reality is that medication is designed to manage disease, and I take the view that it does this very badly. And it was only I came across Dr. Terry Walls, who's another American neurologist. She has a talk on TED Talk. It's called Minding Your Mitochondria. And what she was saying was similar to the path that I'm on now. She was saying that, you know, when we die, when all of our cells die, we die as human beings. And the only way to keep ourselves alive and to keep the mitochondria exercised in the cell is through nutrition, through food that is complementary to brain health. And it's really interesting, my case, in that as soon as I went plant-based in April the 26th, 2016, within 4 weeks, I was starting to experience a significant improvement in my health. And one of the first symptoms that I noticed following going 100% plant-based, vegan, call it what you want, was the incredible experience of brain clarity, mental clarity. The fog was lifting. I was injecting medication for 9 years. And by the way, I'm not telling people to stop taking medication, and I'm not having to go at Big Pharma. I'm sharing an experience, and I'm trying to educate and share with people that medication can't improve your body's physiology. You do that through the alternative approach, which is changing your lifestyle. And that's really what I'm all about. And within our lifestyles is certainly what we eat. And it's also then, as you go into the vegan discussion, it's around our carbon footprint and our impact on the environment, and then also what people's views are on animal welfare. And I know your show covers a lot of this stuff. So it's just a fascinating space. And in terms of my own journey through it, I mean, I'm still walking and still living the journey, and I'm still learning as well.
Oh, yeah, we all do. It's an ongoing process. We never reach the end of the road when it comes to veganism.
Yeah.
You know, Connor, I'm curious. I think one of the things that we've seen, or at least I'm seeing more, and is, you know, we're people becoming so much more aware of autoimmune diseases and inflammation, and professional athletes now are trying to, you know, being more mindful of the food that they're eating. And I thought maybe we should talk a little bit about your history. I mean, you were a long time athlete, a fierce competitor. And then you obviously learned about MS, your MS, and really had to change your life, I'm sure. How did you go from, you know, getting back into being a fierce competitor and getting through, you know, that time where you felt like if I were going through such a thing, would have just been devastated and not feel the ability to be compete anywhere near the level that you did before. And yet now it seems in your triathlete work that you're actually performing at an even higher level.
So it's a really good question, but I think it's important that I set the context right. Whenever I was a young boy, I was fascinated by sport, and I used to play football in Ireland as soccer. And I grew up in a very sporting environment. I captained a lot of the youth teams, and I always wanted to win. There was a real fighting spirit within me. I don't know where that came from, but certainly I was very competitive, and I excelled at sport, you know. But I worked really hard at sport. You can't excel at anything in life without working hard. I mean, I practiced and I trained and I worked, and I worked every day from the age of 6 years of age. And I think I've read somewhere that you become an expert in something after you do 10,000 hours, and certainly by the age of 12, I had over 10,000 hours of sport racked up. So I was on course to do well at sport. But then whenever I get diagnosed, all of those dreams disappeared. I was told by my neurologist that I probably wouldn't be able to play sport again, that I would have to change my job. I'm also a very ambitious person. I like to create jobs. I like to create investment. I like to make a difference in the world. And what an illness or a disease does, it steals your dreams. It conditions you to believe that you can't do things. And it's a very negative pathway to go down, which millions of people all around the world, all around America, all around Europe are currently experiencing at the moment. Illness is very difficult to deal with. But I think to address your question, and I think this is really important for me, is where did I get this fighting spirit? How did I have the energy and spirit and resolve to fight back? I personally believe that the characteristics that I learned when I was a young boy, growing up in a sporting environment, to never give up, to keep going, no matter about defeat, you get up and you go again. Whenever I came across Montel Williams' work, that lit a fire in my soul, and that gave me the belief and hope that, hang on, here's a guy called Montel Williams. I didn't believe that you could have a business. I didn't believe that you could train for events, that he was doing runs, he was going to the gym, he was getting stronger, he was doing all of the things that I thought or was being conditioned to believe were impossible. So to answer your question, I think from a young boy, I was conditioning myself to be very competitive. Whenever I get really sick, that was stole from me. But whenever I started to see Montel and other guys who I got great inspiration from, I started to believe that the young boy in me was coming alive, and I started to believe that actually I could start to take back control of my body again, and I can get stronger again, and I can do this. If that makes sense to you, I think that was the cornerstone and really elevated me to take on this path of recovery.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing attitude, an amazing story. You know, I think about, I grew up loving sports too and still play today, and you know, here I am. I'm like, I don't even know if I can run a half marathon. And you decided to take on, you know, being involved in triathlons. And I'm just curious, you know, what were you, I mean, what was your mindset? Or were you, I would have been incredibly intimidated at the beginning, and especially after this diagnosis. And I mean, going into the first race, and, you know, how did you even plan to do triathlons?
So around about 2011, if we can cast our mind back, this is whenever I was really starting my fight back. So this was like 8 years ago. I was asked by a local charity, an MS charity, would I run the Belfast Marathon? And within 2 seconds, I agreed to do it. It was an instinctive response, even though at that time I could barely run. My legs weren't working very well, and I wasn't very fit at all. I did the marathon, and over the next 2 or 3 years, I ran 7 or 8 marathons, because I thought if I could run a marathon, because people with MS are not supposed to be running marathons, right? That's the narrative that's out there.
Yeah.
And I'm all about change and changing people's perceptions in life and trying to be the change that people want to see. So I thought if I could run these marathons, I could maybe reach out to people and they would maybe get some inspiration from me running marathons with an MS diagnosis. And after doing maybe 8 or 9 marathons over a couple of years, I thought it would be really interesting if someone with MS could complete a triathlon. And that then led on to someone with MS could actually complete an Ironman triathlon, which is one of the most difficult endurance races out there. Because around about 2015, guys, I couldn't find anyone in the world who was living with MS who had completed an Ironman triathlon. I'm not saying there wasn't people, but I couldn't find them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that if I could train my mind and my body and I could cross the finish line, number one, it would be incredibly empowering for me, because it would be a sense of achievement that despite illness, despite adversity, I can actually do this. And that would elevate me then to go on and potentially realize my potential in life. But more importantly, I felt that the message of someone with MS, no matter where they lived in the world, if they could complete an Ironman, well, that's bloody something. So that could give them massive encouragement to never give up and fight back against whatever it is in their life is holding them back. So over the last 36 months, I mean, I've written a book about this, Iron Mind, Against All Odds, and it's been really well received. I'm really proud of it. And over the last 36 months, I've completed 7 Ironman triathlons, 2 full distance, and 5 half Ironman 70-mile races. And at the moment, I'm currently training for my 8th Ironman race, which is my 3rd full distance in 14 weeks. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's incredible. We talked a little bit. You talked a little bit about why you wrote your book, Ironman Against All Odds. And I'm curious for our listeners, what do you go into in your book? What can they expect by picking up a copy?
Well, I think at the start of the book, let me get the not so nice stuff out of the road. The Ironman triathlon is a difficult race, and unfortunately, close to 50 people haven't finished the race. And I found in my research that over 40 odd people, for different reasons, had even died in the water. So it's not something that you take on lightly. So I was terrified about this challenge, and especially living with a condition. My goal was to finish the race alive, to be quite honest with you. But whenever I was sort of writing the book, I did my research and I couldn't really find a book out there. So the book has been written for people who are thinking about doing an Ironman race, for people who need some inspiration in life, for people who are maybe sick or ill or not feeling well, and they just need something to give them a little push in life. So, I mean, in the book, I talk about, I set myself 6 challenges in 2015, which culminated in the full Ironman race. So I did a half Ironman. I ran a couple of marathons. So I talk about the training program, the six-month training block. I talk about my nutrition. I talk about switching to a plant-based diet. I talk about other people in the book who have inspired me, athletes like Rich Roll, who has inspired me and is constant inspiration for me in terms of the veganism discussion and the plant-based discussion and fighting back from adversity. So I really top and tail the book and finish with me finishing the race in Mallorca in Spain with my family. So it was a lovely exercise. I'm really proud of it. And it's out there across the world at the moment, and the feedback is fantastic. So it's something that I'm really pleased with.
Yeah. Are there certain foods that you include in your diet that you consider to be very important in conquering your problem?
Yeah, so look, you know, I think you touched on this earlier on, but one of the problems with disease, all diseases are driven by inflammation. And, you know, I also would like to make this point as well that, you know, the vegan diet and people, veganism in the States is massive at the moment. And in Europe and in Ireland now, it's starting to get really big. There's lots of people talking about this. But you can actually live in a very unhealthy vegan diet. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys have touched on this in your show. And that's why I encourage people to eat whole food, plant-based. Because, you know, I do know some vegans who just eat chips and other things that maybe aren't so healthy.
No.
And my you know, that's something that I think people need to make the distinction upon, because for me, it's all about eating whole foods, plant-based foods, which help defeat and fight inflammation in your body. So whether it's cancer, whether it's MS, whether it's depression, all of these illnesses are driven by inflammation. So for me, it made so much sense to switch to a plant-based whole food diet where I could eat lots of, to answer your question directly, nuts and seeds and fruits and legumes and all of those things that help my cells remain healthy, help fire up the mitochondria and deal with inflammation. So, for example, this morning I had a bowl of porridge with lots of fruit. For me, I typically graze most of the day, so I don't really have big meals. I would eat a lot of fruit and nuts and seeds. I normally train at lunchtime and I train in the evening times at home. I think it's easier to go plant-based or vegan if you enjoy cooking. You probably agree with me. I love to cook. My kids are also plant-based and vegan, so they're one of them, Connor, is 5 and Liliana is 8. And, I mean, that's a conversation in itself because it's been a fascinating... I'm a single dad as well, guys, so I've got lots of stuff going on. But that was a fascinating transformation to introduce my kids to the vegan plant-based lifestyle, which I think in years to come, I will look back that it's probably one of the biggest gifts that I have given my children in 20 years' time is introducing them to this new lifestyle, because they absolutely love it and they're thriving.
Oh, that's good. They didn't give you any problems switching over. They were okay with that?
No, because, you know, children are so interested in stuff. I mean, parenting's not easy, but I include them in the shopping. I include them in the cooking process. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to paint the perfect home and the perfect kid and the perfect dad, but children are genuinely interested in food, and they're interested in the nutritional aspect. They're interested because I have got MS. I talk to my children about my condition. I live the Ironman lifestyle, if you want to call it, because I'm normally always training. My kids join in. I mean, they just have embraced it. Children don't ask a lot of questions. What they don't like is if you tell them lies. So they're very honest with them, and they know by eating fruit and vegetables that it helps them be healthy. So no, it actually has been fairly straightforward, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, Connor, you know, I think your story and your experience and your work is really inspiring, and I think it's going to do a lot of great in the world for people, not only people that are struggling with MS, but people that are, I think, struggling with a variety of different health conditions and diseases. I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about your book and your various work.
Yeah, so look, I'm currently on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I've got my own website, connordevine.com. So please reach out to me. I'm on engaging with lots of people at the moment on all kinds of things. So yeah, I'm on all the platforms, and I'm really keen to engage with people on this kind of subject matter.
We've been talking with Connor Devine, author, innovator, plant-based, whole food, Ironman triathlete, and multiple sclerosis awareness campaigner. Thanks for being with us so much, Connor.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks, Connor.